And so I want to praise the Lord that he gives us a chance to influence the world. All right, 2 Kings 19. How many of you are with me in Zacatecas? Who is with me? Robbie, Travis, Tiffany, Esther, and we had a few of us. All right. Some of you remember the bumps. His van with unbelievable suspension. It was stiff as a rock, that van was. And they had bumps all over the city. And these guys just sit in the back flying the whole time. And so 2 Kings in chapter 19. I felt terrible for them. And so 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. And when he heard say that Tirhaka, the king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. So basically he's saying, this guy's surrounding Jerusalem, and then he hears other armies are going to cause them problems, and he says, hey, don't think you're okay. We're still ready to tackle you and take you on. Behold, thou hast heard the king of, verse 11, Assyria hath done unto all the lands, and destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezpah, and the children of Eden which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Servarvin, and Hina of Iva? And Hezekiah received a letter in the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I want to talk about spreading it out before the Lord. Spreading it out before the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we need your help. We do give you this. Lord, just put this before you, that we need help, that we want you to speak, that we... It's where you put a desire in us, Father, for what you want, so we'll pray about it. And we want you to speak. We want your power. And then we know that's also your will and what you want. It's a desire given by you, and we long for your spirit to move. We long to hear from you. And I pray tonight that we would learn to give things to you and really pour it out before you. Help us now. Empower us. Speak to us. Just descend upon this service and speak to us now in a powerful way and help us. We need your help, for vain is the help of man. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Assyria and Sennacherib, the king, and basically some of his generals had come out. And remember, Israel split into two parts. Israel proper, and that was 10 of the tribes. And Judah was a southern part. And they came through, and they were kind of in the Assyria was kind of the powerful country at the time. And they conquered Israel, and they went down to Judah where Hezekiah was, which is a good king. And they conquered Israel, and then they conquered Hezekiah, and then they came back again to conquer Hezekiah and to conquer it a second time, because he wasn't paying the tribute and all the things, and he had stopped paying, and so they came to do that. And it's interesting, as he comes the first time, and as at the start of this conversation, the man named Rebshaka, he comes and he talks to them over the wall and says, hey, you're starving to death. You're miserable. We're going to kill you all. God can't deliver you, nothing else. And Hezekiah really got a burden and really started praying to God. And they came a second time, and he sent a letter that we just read and said, hey, nothing's going to deliver you. You're dead. And there's nothing you can do about it. And Hezekiah is very distraught in both situations, of course, being surrounded by an enemy way more powerful than him, and he didn't know what to do, and he was very brokenhearted. And in chapter 18, if you can go back a little bit, basically he tells him, don't listen to Hezekiah. He's lying to you that you're going to be okay. Verse 31, hearken not to Hezekiah. Thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat every man of his own vine, and every man of his own fig tree, and drink every one of his own cisterns. He says, listen, don't listen to Hezekiah, and don't listen to him. So Hezekiah is pretty low at this time, and everything's going pretty bad. Hezekiah had some worry and some regret. I think this is a real important point. In chapter 18, when Rabshakeh is talking to him the first time, verse 19 of chapter 18, and Rabshakeh said unto them, "Speak now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" Now he's going to go through, and he's saying, hey, what is the confidence you have? There's no God who's been able to deliver from them. Why are you even thinking you're going to be okay? We're going to kill you. And so the messengers had come, they met kind of in the middle, and they tell them, hey, go back and tell Hezekiah and tell the people, you're going to die if you don't submit to us. What confidence you have? None of the gods have ever worked. And he gives them this big message. But one of the things he says that's kind of sad for Hezekiah, verse 22, "But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places," the God, "whose high places and whose altar Hezekiah taken away?" Now, this is Hezekiah's dilemma, and I think this applies to us, because so many times when the devil's attacking you, and he kind of gets you in hopelessness, what he does, he makes you focus on your mistakes and why you're there. And it's your fault, and you're not going to be blessed, and it's not going to happen to you. And what he says, are you talking, that Hezekiah is telling you that your God is going to deliver you? Is that the same God whose altars that Hezekiah tore down? Now, look what Hezekiah did before, when he had to give money to the king before, and he surrendered to him before. Verse 14, "Hezekiah, the king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria in Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest in me I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed to Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold." So we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And Hezekiah submitted to it and didn't find a good source. Verse 15, "Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off from the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the kings of Assyria." Now, he takes the gold and the silver from God's house. And the king of Assyria found out that he basically tore down the altars. He just calls me altars. The things of God's house. He took God's stuff. Now watch what he says. If you go back, now watch how he brings this back up to him. Verse 22, but saying to him, "We trust in the Lord. But if what ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah taken away?" And Hezekiah also said to Judah and Jerusalem, "Ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem." You see, he's saying, Hezekiah is the one who said you're supposed to, and Hezekiah did. Hezekiah had a terrible dad. The nation was in idolatry and wickedness, and Hezekiah turned to the Lord and rebuilt things, and then he took it away and tore it down and took away the gold and silver and gave it to the king of Assyria. And they're saying, Hezekiah, he's the one who tore down the altars of the God you're relying on. And you're saying this guy is going to be blessed. And he said you're supposed to come worship at that building, and he took the stuff off the building. You're trusting this guy that he's going to get God to take care of you? God's not happy with you guys. Isn't that how you feel sometimes when you're down? Where you start kicking yourself and blaming yourself? And can I just tell you, you look long enough at yourself, so you're going to see where you failed. You're just not going to do everything, right? You're just not going to foresee everything. And that's why we confess our sins. And sometimes it's not sins, just it's foolishness, or you didn't think it through, or you didn't know what to do, or you didn't pray for wisdom. We many times, the devil comes to us in the same way and says, God's not going to deal. Why are you even praying? Now, God's testimony became at stake here. Hezekiah had a reason kind of to regret this, kind of to worry about it, kind of think about it, and all of his worry and all of his, what are we going to do? And now they're surrounded again, and now they're basically cut off, and they're going to all be killed, he thinks. He doesn't know what to do. But they kind of brought it up that God can't do anything here. Look at verse 36. "The people held their peace and answered him not a word for the king's commandment, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which is over the household, and Sheba the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. We'll say it once right. And so they did that. And they come to him, and everybody's scared. Everybody's nervous. And now they're even making fun that God's not going to deliver you. No, God's ever delivered you. And we see that. He goes into great detail about that twice, how he goes into that and shows how God can't deliver you. We read chapter 19, verse 10. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered in the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what all the other gods have done, and we've destroyed them, and there's no God that's going to save you. And so it kind of came down to God's testimony in this. That's a very powerful, powerful place to be. Now, he said, let's make a decision. What are you going to do? Rabshakeh says, hey, what are you going to do? You can't make it. You're dead. He told them outside the city, and then he came and wrote the note to them. In between that, it's interesting what happens. Hezekiah goes and begins weeping before God, and he calls for his leaders, his spiritual leaders, and he has them go to Isaiah. Isaiah was alive at the time, okay? And in chapter 19, verse 1, it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Can you imagine how down he was and how hopeless he was? Not only was he going to be killed, but all his people were going to be killed. And he thought, maybe this guy's right. Maybe I did ruin it. Maybe God's not going to hear it. I did get rid of all the gold and silver and at God's house. And what's wrong with, why did I do that? And all these things. And he sent Eliakim, which is over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, and covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah. So they're talking to Isaiah now. This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words wherewith the Lord God hath heard. And wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So they went to Isaiah. So they said, hey, maybe God will hear us and be merciful to us and hear our prayer, because that guy spoke against God that God can't deliver. We're not coming to you for our own worthiness. Hezekiah said, maybe God will just do it to shut that guy up who's blaspheming God. And then, of course, after that, they go to Isaiah and ask him to pray. And Isaiah said to them, verse 6, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the word which I was heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria blaspheme me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. And so Isaiah said, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of him. And Rabshakeh just says, you know what? Send this note to Isaiah. Just tell him you're living a dream. You're going to be dead. And they bring the note back to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah takes the note that says, again, your God can't deliver you. Where are the gods, verse 11 and 12? Where is the gods, verse 10? And he takes this letter, and Hezekiah takes this letter and he goes to God's house, verse 14. And Hezekiah received a letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah just took it and said, Lord, you see what he said here. And he got on his face before God. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And now look at the humility and the desperation of his prayer. Verse 15. O Lord, God of hosts, which dwells between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, all the kings of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he hath sent to reproach the living God. Now, one of the things that you can do is when God is being mocked and God has a chance to show off, bring that up to God. It's a powerful way to pray. It's a powerful way to pray. Of a truth, Lord, verse 17, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their land, have cast down their gods and the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Wherefore, they have destroyed them. Therefore, now, Lord God, we beseech you, save us out of the hand of the kingdoms, that all the kings of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And Isaiah comes in eventually and talks to them and says, you're going to be okay. He laid it out before the Lord. Deliverance comes. we see in a great way. And they're just, it's great. He's, God comes in verse, let's see, 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000 that night. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. I don't think they woke up and found that the people, it's kind of funny the way it says, like they woke up and said, oh, I'm dead. I don't think that's the way, it's the way it sounds. But actually see Sennacherib leaving. I think at the leadership, when they woke up in the morning, looked around and saw all their soldiers dead. And then they departed, it says. Now, of course, Hezekiah was fine. Hezekiah was good, and they were delivered, and they were fine. But Hezekiah really got there, and he just said, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. I'm laying this letter out before you. See what's here, Lord. And Lord, we're brought low. And he just poured out his heart to the Lord. And I think in the same way, you and I can spread out our heart before the Lord. And I think that's a vital thing that you've got to learn to do in your life. Learn to pour it all out and spread it all out before God. Let me show you some verses on this. The book of Psalms. Let's go to Samuel first. We're closer to Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I am surprised, as much as I know and I preach something like this on this general subject multiple times in a ministry, and how in the last 3 days on two different things, I really poured my heart out before God, that I realized, you know, I've kind of prayed about this casually, but I really, Lord, this is, I didn't tell God how I felt. I didn't tell him my reasoning of why this shouldn't happen or why this should happen and what the difference is. And I laid out my case. I poured out my heart. I just went to the Lord and said, Lord, this is why. And I did it today with something I hadn't done it before. And I just think we forget, and we don't really realize God is a present help in our trouble. We need to pour our heart before him. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15, and answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She went and prayed so hard they thought she was drunk, and she wept bitterly, and she said, I am not drunk, I poured out my heart before the Lord. I think that's something you need to do. Let me take you to Psalms. Let's look at Psalms 42. And verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the joy, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holiday. Why art thou cast in on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my confidence. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Look, he poured out his soul. Psalm 55. In verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be removed. Let's go back to Psalm 34. Cast thy burden on the Lord. Pour out your soul before God. Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 15 through 18, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 62. Pour out your heart before God. Pour out your soul before God. Lay out the letter before him and say, oh God, you see this. And talk to him. You can say, Lord, don't let him kill us. But it's better to lay it out before the Lord and tell him your heart. These people got answers when they did this. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before him. Psalm 142. Lay it out. Psalm 142 and verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. Pour out. You know what pour it out means? Pour it out means this. I poured it out. You know, we have in our hearts a whole bunch. And you're just pour it out. Tell him how you feel. Share what's in your heart with him. I poured out my complaint before him. Maybe your heart's too full of worry and stress and anger and disappointment, and you haven't ever poured it out before God. When my spirit is overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and wherein I walked, they privily laid a snare for me. I looked at my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. Boy, this guy needed to pour out his heart before God. David did. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Hezekiah laid it out. Showed it to God. You think God has seen the note before? Yes. God knows what's in your heart. But God likes things laid out. He likes us to share. He likes to do it. And I think some of us just need to go with what's in your heart and with what's in your mind and with what you want. The thing you want more than anything else, the thing that's breaking your heart, the thing you do not understand, the thing that makes it seem so unfair, if you would take time and instead of worrying and fretting and chewing on and being frustrated over and being angry over and even bitter over because you just keep on thinking about it. Once in a while, say, God, why didn't you do something? No, stop and pour it out and lay it out before God and just get out there before God and get in your face and just say, Lord, you can write it out and just get in your face and say, Lord, I pour out my heart before you. Lord, I thought this was going to happen and I was so disappointed. Lord, I wish this had happened. Lord, I really looked forward to this. I want this, Lord. This worries me, Lord. You know how I love this person and this is not happening and they're like this and they're being, why don't you instead of you just sitting there and being worried and stressed out and being angry about things and thinking there's no hope, why don't you tell God, Lord, I don't think there's any hope. Pour out your heart before him. Lay it out before him. Tell him your frustrations. Tell him, casting all your care upon him. If you ever do that, and you are not going to do it in church, you got to be alone. And do it before God. You will be shocked how God will take over and how you will feel relieved. You will, into that thing that is about to explode, that thing is bursting full and stretching the seams, and all of a sudden you push that little button and it opens up and lets the steam out and God takes it. And you'll say, oh, I feel better. It's going to be okay. Pour out your heart before him. Spread it before the Lord. And God takes care of those. But we carry way too much. And your biggest burden, that you gather all of your burden, that just weight that's so much to you, and you take all that weight that you can hardly carry, and you just take it, you throw it in the Lord. And to the Lord, a little tiny speck of dust lands in his hand. He says, I can handle it. To you, it crushed you. To God, it's a big deal because it's a big deal to you, but he can handle it. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Why don't you let God carry your burdens? Why don't you tell God how you feel? He probably cares about it too. But he wants it laid out before him. He cared about Hannah not having kids before then. But then when she poured out her heart, when Hezekiah poured out his heart, he already knew what the king, he already knew what Sennacherib's servant said. He already knew that. But you got to lay it out before God. He likes prayer. He likes to take your burdens, but you got to give them to him. And cast your burdens upon the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to teach this simple truth. I pray that we would do this. Thank you, Hezekiah knew where to go when he was bursting, hopeless, sad, brokenhearted. And brokenhearted because he failed in some ways. Because his failures got brought back up to him, and he probably figured he deserves it. Yet he poured out his heart before you, Lord, and give a good case about your name. Lord, I pray tonight that we'd be committed to pour out our hearts to you tonight. Lord, please help us to do so. May we cast our burdens, pour out our hearts, and lay it out before you, as these many times in Scripture, even pouring out my complaint before you, as the Bible says. May we do so, Lord. It's biblical. It's vital, Lord. Even Jesus did it. Help us all to do so, Father. Help us to find a place and a time and find a way to do that. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.